Good evening and welcome to another edition of Heart of the Matter on Dundalk FM, your community, your radio. In studio I have Michael and Maddie. How are you doing, Michael?
Not too bad, Kevin, not too bad.
And Michael, we're looking at something that's going to be really pertinent to me tonight.
We are talking about marriage. And why are we talking about marriage, Kevin?
Because I'm getting married on Saturday the 16th.
You're getting married and then you're abandoning the show and you're running away.
I'm leaving the show. I'm taking, what's the technical term? I'm taking a sabbatical.
I'm taking a sabbatical
for a few months until June, just to settle into married life.
This is what happens. You get married and then you think you can just walk away from all these things.
Yeah, I mean, like, what is it now? 2005, so 14 years ago I've started on this show.
That's a long time. So I mean, you do a break.
I haven't taken an extended break. I might have been away for like a week, maybe 2 weeks, but never for a couple of months at a time. So I'm taking some time off, but looking forward to the show tonight and discussing the whole idea of marriage and Christian marriage. So Michael, you chose the songs this evening.
We're going to start with a song by the City Harmonic called Solid Rock, a song that I just have grown to love. The more I hear it, the more I just enjoy it.
Sounds interesting. Let's give it a whirl.
So often go astray, and all the plots and schemes of kings and queens shift like the wind that blows away. I did not trust the sweetest friend of man, but in the name of Jesus, the fall in rock, I'm standing. King Sam, yes, I got everything I need.
Well, we're going to begin tonight by looking at the book of Genesis, as we tend to do here. We want to start everything in the book of Genesis and see how it plays out throughout Scripture. But we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. And there we read, "The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed." And so, at this point, really, the marriage story begins. Adam has given names to the animals, and in so doing, he sees that there is none like him. There's not a suitable companion for him. He has nobody that corresponds to him. And so, from his rib, God fashions the woman. And then, like a father walking his daughter down to the aisle to give her to her betrothed, we read that God, quote, brought her to the man. And the first words that we have recorded by the man are not words spoken to the woman, but about her. And when he sees her, he breaks out into this poetic praise in which he recognizes that this person is his complement. With this one who is like him and yet different than him, they complement one another. Together, they will fulfill the command to be fruitful and multiply. And so the first marriage takes place. The first marriage covenant is made, and it is Yahweh who does it. Notice that the covenantal name of God is used here. It is the Lord God. It is Yahweh Elohim. That is important because this marriage between the man and the woman represents more than just these two now agreeing to live together. Marriage is more than that. It's not just saying, yeah, I guess we'll live together now. It is a covenantal relationship. Remember that as Moses writes this, the children of Israel are about to enter into the promised land. They're about to enter into Canaan. They are themselves in a covenant relationship with Yahweh. And so this pattern of marriage is to remind them of their relationship to their God. And let's be honest, how many today even think of marriage in covenantal categories? And even if they do, would be able to describe how a covenant is different than a contract. I think this is a helpful statement by John Davies in describing this covenant relationship. He says, quote, "The fundamental image behind each of the applications of berith, which is the Hebrew word for covenant, is the use of familial categories for those who are not bound by ties of natural kinship." That's really, really important. Let me continue on as Dr. Peter Gentry expands on this helpfully, I think, when he writes this. He says, quote, "Thus, by a ceremony or a quasi-legal process, people who are not kin are now bound as tightly as any family relationship. Marriage is the best example and illustration of this." So he's talking about a covenant here. He says, "Marriage is the best example and illustration of this. A man and a woman who are not previously related are now bound closer than any other bond of blood or kinship." And so a covenant is not just an agreement. It's not like a contract where you both write down on a piece of paper and say, okay, I'll do this and you do this. And, you know, it can just easily be broken and now the whole contract is null and void. That's not what marriage is at all. It's a covenant relationship whereby two people who are not of the same family are brought together and they are bound closer than any bond of blood or kinship. And so it's a very intimate, it's very familial, and it creates this family relationship in that covenant. And that is a radical, radical concept in our modern society. I was reading an article, about a year or so, maybe a little more than that ago. And the author was writing on why women in Ireland should not take their husbands' last names when they get married. Well, be that as it may, that's not the point that I want to bring up here, because there was one sentence in this article that I found fascinating. In fact, it was just three words out of the whole article that revealed the worldview from which this author was coming from. And these three words have stuck in my mind. And speaking about her husband's last name and why she's not taking it and how that name has nothing to do with her, she says this, quote, "We are not related, me and him. We're only married," end quote. We're only married. Sadly, that is the view of marriage pretty much in the Western world. You can take it or leave it, hop in, hop out. After all, it's only marriage. And so it's no wonder that divorce rates are so high. We have no idea what marriage is. In this covenant of marriage, two people who were previously not related are now bound closer than any other bond of blood or kinship. And these two individuals, this man and this woman, come together and become one flesh. And so marriage is far more than a contractual agreement. It's far more than a signing of documents which say, yes, we agree to live together. It is a covenant binding these two individuals, creating familial ties that is more closely connected than either blood or kinship. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about marriage, but we're going to go to our second song, which is In Christ Alone. And this, usually we play this song as it was written by the Geddes, and usually we play it with it's sung by the Geddes, but this version is sung by Steph McLeod.
Drought and storm, what heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied, for every sin on him was laid. Of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave. Just
Michael, you were quoting there earlier from an article about women's attitude to marriage and...
Well, at least it was this one particular woman.
I suppose so, yeah. And I suppose it is a common misconception, I would say, that marriage is about losing identity and that, you know, it has a bad rap, more or less, from a patriarchal, it's accused of being a throwback to a patriarchal society where men dominated women and therefore women had no rights and all that sort of thing. But the Bible has a very different view of marriage than that, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you can see, you know, the very first marriage that we see happening is that God is the one bringing this woman to Adam.
Yeah.
And so the institution of marriage itself is rooted in something God does, not in a societal expectation or in some unanimous decision by a community that this is appropriate. It's rooted in something that God does because the entire concept of marriage itself points outside of itself to something greater, mm-hmm. which, you know, we will get to in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, we need to remember that it's rooted in something God has done.
Yeah, Matthew Henry's 17th century Bible commentator, he said this, he said, "The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near the heart to be beloved."
Yeah, I think that's it's a good quote because it reminds us of what we read in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, that both Adam and Eve, both the man and the woman, were made in the image of God. And so the entire creation account, yes, while it gives particular roles to both men and women, it recognizes that while men and women are different and have different roles, they are equal before God because men and women are both made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, as we look to Genesis 2 and we see, well, here is this perfect marriage, and then maybe as we look to our own time and we think, well, what has happened? Well, that's because we need to keep reading.
Yeah.
Sadly, we need to keep reading, and we come to Genesis 3, and we see that this man and woman, this first couple, sin against God. And so sin and death enter the world, but also marital disharmony comes with that. And so you have in Genesis 3:16, God judges the woman, excuse me, and after telling her that the command to be fruitful will now come about through much pain, he adds, "Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." And so there's going to be this conflict even within marriage because of sin. And because we are all sinners, still now, every one of us, there is that sin in us which rises up and wants to... you know, it express itself in various ways in marriage. We have got to repent of that sin and turn to Christ, knowing that only he alone can forgive that sin and bring about marital harmony and unity once again.
Yeah, and the thing to remember is as well that God instituted marriage for human beings, and he said, you know, they shall be social of a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they should become one flesh. So that idea is also an extremely important foundation for marriage as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they're now constituting their own family unit. Yeah, that's where you're going with it. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's in this covenant, like I was reading those quotes from Davies and Gentry, this covenant relationships creates a familial bond that is even more significant than a bond that you have with those who share your blood, with mother, father, brother, sister, you know, or other relations that you have. And so it creates this family, and so it cannot be It cannot be separated. And that's the whole thing that, you know, when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in the Gospels, and he cites Genesis 2, and he says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And so, you know, some people might think, oh, well, you know, what does it mean, this coming together, the one flesh, that, you know, okay, after the marriage, they come together. But that's not it. The idea is that God himself is joining these two together so that they become, so that they're one and they cannot be pulled apart. And that's why, is from a biblical perspective, that divorce is such a horrendous thing, because you're tearing apart what God has bound together.
Yeah, and that's so important, isn't it? So by understanding that marriage is a covenant which joins two people together in a familial bond, beginning the family unit, then by understanding that, it means that the world needs to recognize that new family unit, and that's what the whole marriage ceremony is about, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. That we're recognizing these two people are now joined together, not merely because, you know, the person officiating pronounces them, but because God has brought them together and is joining them in this covenant. So, you know, while we think about marriage on a very personal scale, and rightly so, you know, in the context of the entire flow of Scripture, we remember that, okay, yes, marriage is extremely important, but it's also pointing us to something greater. It's pointing us to Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. And we see that in places like Ephesians chapter 5, where Christ is the husband and the bride is the church, and that he gave himself up for his bride. And so, you know, marriage is a display of the gospel for everyone to see. And that should really be something for those who are believers to think about, because as you are living out your marriage, you're living out the drama of the gospel for everyone to behold.
Yeah, and that's so important to recognize, isn't it? That the grace of God in bringing two people together and in knitting them together in the bond of marriage is such a testimony to the power of God and the grace of God in the lives of his people. But Michael, we're going to go to our ad break now, and we'll be back right after this.
Is brought to you by Dundalk Christian Counselling Centre. This free counselling service is situated at Dundalk Baptist Centre on RTE Terrace. You can contact us in complete confidence on 932 7094 or email us at christiancounselling@aircom.net. You can also visit our website at dundalkbaptistchurch.org/counselling.